certainly thankful for this, another opportunity that God has provided to us to be back in His house. I think it was the first song that we sung. What a meeting in the air, you know. What a glad and happy day that will be for all those who have been saved by the grace of God, that God will call us to not die, but to go home one day after a while. What a day that is, that we shall go and be with Him one day. I was reading not too long ago in the book of Revelation, and I believe John the Revelator, there in the 22nd chapter, he said, "And they shall see His face." I don't know about you all, but I'm looking forward to the day that I can finally behold the face of my Lord. You know, there's a song that I've sort of been singing around the house a little bit this week, and it's called "One Day I Will," you know. And I like how it goes, and it says, "I've never seen the face of my Savior, but serving Him has been such a thrill," and it has. "I've never seen the gates to that city. Oh, but one day I will." You know, I'm not trying to say I'm wanting to wish my life away. Don't get that. Oh, but I'm ready for that one day where I can finally see and behold the beauty of the Lord. How amazing is it that John wrote, he said, "There is no need for the sun or the moon because the Son of God is the light of heaven Himself." The very center of it and the main attraction there. How great is that? Anyways, I don't mean to ramble on. Oh, but my heart is just so filled this morning. And I pray that God allows us to get a little glimpse of that place this morning. And if not a little glimpse, then maybe we can pray that God will allow heaven to come down and fill the whole house with His presence. I wonder at this time if anybody has anything upon their heart, a prayer request, a praise, or anything they feel like needs to be said or done. Amen. And it's certainly good to see you back with us, Brother Keith. Not just you, but it's good to see Sister Marilyn, and it's certainly good to see Brother Danny and Sister Treva with us this morning. So we definitely have a need to praise the Lord this morning for watching over our members in the congregation. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Amen. Yes, let's certainly be prayerful for one another. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Yes. Yes, certainly do need to be prayerful for those who are lost. My father-in-law told me about two years ago, I was elected to help him and preach a revival in Adams, Tennessee. And the very first night of that revival, my father-in-law told me. He said, Micah, preach like tonight will be your last time preaching. Because one of these days it will be. Hey, you know, I sort of just smiled and said, I'll try my best and went on. But that never really hit me until about a few months ago. Preach like it'll be your last time preaching. And I pray for that for all of my preaching brethren who'll be standing this morning, for Brother Chase and for Brother Scott Harper and for all of our brethren who are standing this morning, that you would just let go and let God move. But not just that. Church, sing like it will be your last time singing. Praise like it'll be your last time praising. And worship like it'll be your last time worshiping. Because one of these days it will be for us here on this earth. If there is a need and an occasion for us to put aside the flesh, it's this morning. We've got lost souls at stake. Let's pray and worship God like we ought to. Anybody else have anything upon their hearts this morning? Anything at all they feel like needs to be said or done? If not, then let us be prayerful for Brother Chase this morning as he comes this way to preach for us. Pray that God would just empty him and fill up his heart and mind of the things of the Spirit and what he would need to say. Because only God knows what needs to be said this morning. Not me, not Brother Chase, not Brother Scott or Brother Dale. Only God knows what needs to be said this morning. So let's be prayerful, but above all, let's be prayerful for those who are lost. If nothing else needs to be said or done, Brother Danny, do you mind leading our hearts in a word of prayer this morning? Before we turn the service over, I wonder if anybody has anything that they feel like needs to be said or done this morning. I do want to remind everybody that this morning, this isn't my service, and it's not your service. This is the Lord's service. And so I ask that we would be sensitive to the Spirit of God this morning. And I know Brother Chase well enough that if you need to move at any given point of the service, you're not going to hinder him. You're not going to bother him one bit. Just follow the Lord. This morning, we've got Brother Chase to come this way for us to bring us the word. And I've got a lot of confidence in my brother. I think I've told this church a time or two, my family is filled with preachers, and Brother Chase is one of them. And I'm so thankful for this time and privilege that God has allowed for us to be in worship with one another. We don't have it very often, so I praise God for this opportunity that we have to come together and worship together. Ask that you would pray for him, not just this morning, but that you would pray for the work that's going on down in Florida. They need our prayers, and they need our support. And so let's be prayerful for them. Brother Chase, turn the service over to you.
I think we'll have the opportunity here this morning, and appreciate y'all giving us the opportunity. If you do want to start turning in your Bibles, we're going to turn over to John chapter 1, where the Lord has led us. I'll give you a moment or two to go over there. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to be reading quite a bit this morning, so if you all would bear with me. There is a need. I'm thankful that early last week, me and Brooklyn were sitting in our living room, I guess around Tuesday. We were planning on coming into town anyway. My brother was getting married yesterday, and he calls me around Tuesday, and he says, "Hey, will you marry us on Saturday?" And I said, "Well, Chris, you're giving me 4 days. I've never done it before, so I will, but you'll have to bear with me." And so I kind of wondered, "Well, Lord, what do you got in store?" And I sat in our living room, and I prayed, asking the Lord to show me what to say and what to do. We were talking about that spirit of the Lord in Sunday school a little bit. That spirit came down. The Lord joined us in the living room, and he said, "This is where you need to read from." So I said, "Lord, that's a start. Thank you." So we read from that yesterday, and the Lord showed us later what an even bigger reason for us to be there was. I got the opportunity to talk to my sister-in-law about the Lord for about 30 minutes or so. And she told me I was explaining to her my testimony of salvation, and she said, "You know, I felt that lightness before that you're talking about." And I pray that she does know truly what salvation is. I pray any that are here that you don't know what that peaceful feeling when the Lord comes in and he takes that weight off your shoulders. You know, we hear a lot of different testimonies of salvation, but when you listen to a true testimony of salvation, even though all of them may sound a little different, there's always peace that is involved. That at the end of it, there is a peace that the Lord has put in to let them know and to let us know that we have been saved by the grace of God. So when we talk about what is salvation this morning, it is peace with the Father, knowing. And that is a foundational doctrine that we as Missionary Baptists believe, that salvation is a personal relationship with the Lord. That it is one that a feeling that you can feel when the Lord comes into your heart and he washes you in the blood of the Lamb and lets you know that you are a child of him. There is a change that takes place. And there must be a change that takes place. Paul talks about the old man and the new man. When the Lord saves our soul, we put down the old man and we are raised a new man in Christ, made anew. And we're going to talk about that for a few moments here in just a little bit, if it be the Lord's will. But as we start in John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." You know, I was reading that just a little while ago, and I thought how that this world has a hard time comprehending the truth of God. We did. Whenever we were lost, we had a hard time comprehending. And how many of us today have tried to figure it out mentally? If you're lost this morning, it is not something that you can figure out here. It's something that must be dealt with here, and you're not the one that can do it. You know, the brother in Sunday school was talking about a choice, and some people take it a little too far in choosing whether you're saved or not. The choice that you have, they're right. There is a choice, but that choice is, are you going to seek the Father, or are you going to turn him away? He does the whole saving. He does the rest of it. So bear that in mind this morning. If you're lost, you do have a choice. He is not, as some people believe, that he is going to force you into salvation. In order to get peace with God, you have got to want it yourself more than anything in this entire world. You've got to want it. He will not save your soul against your will. It said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm thankful this morning that even though that I was not there when Jesus Christ walked the earth, that I can feel his presence this morning. The apostles and the disciples of this time period that John is writing about, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, you can say Brother John is writing about, because he's a brother to us, to those that know the Lord. But as he wrote these things, they were able to physically walk with God. They were able to walk with Jesus Christ in this world. And even though that he's not physically next to me, folks, there are times in my life since the Lord saved my soul that it feels like he is sitting physically and walking right next to me. Sometimes I feel like those two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus, that he's just walking right next to me. And sometimes it takes me a minute to understand and to realize that he's there. But boy, is it wonderful that when the Lord comes in and his presence is so thick upon the room and upon where you are, that it feels like he is literally, physically sitting next to you. That is the Father that we serve. And I'm thankful that the Lord has given us that opportunity time and time again to feel his presence. There have been times that I've been driving down 65, going wherever I'm going to work or wherever, and felt very heavily burdened on my heart, and I'll be praying unto the Lord, and it seems like he's just sitting in the passenger seat with me, and he leans over and he puts his arm around me and he says, everything's going to be all right. If you're lost this morning, that is something that you're missing. That is something that you should really want, because this world, let me tell you, it's going to fail you. People in this world will fail you, because they're humans and they're not perfect. Family, the people that you think will be there forever, they might be, but there's going to be a time they're probably going to fail you. But there is one that will never fail you, one that will never leave nor forsake you. He tells us that in the scriptures. He told the apostles that. He told the disciples that. And as they tried to understand, and he tried to let them know that he was going to have to go to the cross, that he was going to die and be the lamb slain before the world, as he tried to get that through their minds, he also tried to help them understand that even though earthly, physically wise, he would no longer be here, he would send one that would. The Holy Spirit. It says in verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so we read that John was sent before Christ. He was sent to make way, to announce the coming of Christ. And he was baptizing and preparing a people for the Lord. And, you know, I used to be one of those people that I did back in the early part of preaching the gospel. I believed that at the time that the church was set up, the day of Pentecost. I was one of those people, Brother Dale. And after learning and trying to understand and praying and listening and just learning more about the truth, I don't believe that anymore. I believe that the Lord set it up while he was here. But John was preparing him a people. And the main point of the message now that we're here, I didn't want to spend too much time talking to the lost this morning, I'll be honest. But the Lord has seen that we do that. But what is on my heart today is after you get saved, what do you do? What are you called to do after that? Well, I believe that the first thing that you should do is find and pray about the body of baptized believers the Lord wants you to be in, a church. A true church, and Brother Moran, if you all have read his book, I'm sure many of you have, the Missionary Baptist Handbook, more or less. If you've read that, he explains the church as being a body of baptized believers. So I want to talk about baptism just for a few moments. What is it? It's a few things. One, it's the entrance into the church. You're baptized into the local body. What else is it? It's a setting apart. Mm-hmm. You are setting apart. When you get saved, you receive peace with God, and you come forward to join the membership of Friendship Missionary Baptist, wherever the Lord would have you to be, you will be asked to state your testimony. And this is something that I think that the world has a problem with, is that when your testimony, you will walk up and you will be asked, tell us of a time and a place where the Lord spoke peace to your heart. Tell us of a time. And folks, this is something, and if you've been saved, you need to understand today that it is something that is required. John the Baptist required that. He asked the people before he would baptize them in that water. He asked of a time and a place, fruit that meets repentance unto God. He asked for a time and a place where the Lord saved their soul, where they became a child of the King before he would dip them into that water. Because contrary to what the world believes, that water, when you're baptized into that physical water, that does nothing for salvation. Salvation is not the physical dipping of oneself in a body of physical water. It is dipping oneself. It is the Lord taking you and applying that blood of His, the blood of the Lamb, unto your heart, and you come up a new person, a clean person. So baptism is a representation of what happened to you when the Lord saved your soul. It is a representation of Christ's death, burial in the grave. He went down and he was resurrected. And just as when we are saved, we go down and we are brought up a new human being. A child of the King. So it is necessity today that when you come forth to join the church of the living God, when you come forth to join that local body the Lord is leading you to, and I don't want to leave this out, leading you to. Yeah. It's not what you want. It's not what I want. It is what the Father wants. Yeah. And we even see that if we take a moment and we look at our church covenant here. It says in the first paragraph, having been led. Folks, a lot of times, especially the time we live in today, we leave those three words, God's people have left that out of our lives. Having been led. That goes for so much more than just joining the church. That's talking to people. That's preaching the gospel. That's doing what the Lord lays on your heart. Have you been led to do it? We have gone so far away from the Spirit of God because we think we know for some reason more than that God that we serve. So let us be very careful. We wonder, again, we talked about it in Sunday school. Those of you that weren't here for Sunday school, I urge you to come to Sunday school. It's important. Amen. It's an important time to learn, not only to be preached to, but you have to be taught as well. And you have to learn the scriptures. And yes, there is teaching within the preaching. There should be. But if you have been saved by the grace of God, you need to come and you need to learn and hunger for the Word of God. Man. So that you may go forth into the world and be able to tell people
fluently what the Lord has done and what he can do.
Right.
And tell people about him. Because I'm telling you, I was saved the spring of my freshman year of high school. And I've been learning every day since who he is. Even after the Lord saved my soul, I'm still learning who he is this morning. He's still showing me, and brother, you and me were talking about that. He's still showing me scripture that I never understood. He's still speaking to me and letting me know what he can do. We were doing, I was telling the brother, we have been doing a study over marriage at Cedars. The last, I guess it'll be a year in October. And how much of a blessing that is to know, if you've never studied on what marriage represents, you're missing out. Because you can fluently see how that represents Christ and his bride. And the love, just the strong love that he has for his people. If you're lost this morning, he loves you. But you're not his people. So this morning, understand that, as you to get back to the main point, when you come forth, you will be asked for a testimony. It's nerve-wracking. I was nervous. The Lord led me to join Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church. I sat back there. If this is the pulpit, it's a little smaller than this. I was on the fifth pew back, same spot I got saved in, on the left-hand side of the church. And I felt it. How do you know? I felt it right here. Nobody had to tell me. The only thing that I was told after I got saved was Brooklyn and Micah's dad, Anthony, he told me. He said, you know what you need to do after you get saved? The next thing you're required, he said, is find a church that you're being led to, and join that church. I said, all right. Didn't really think about it a whole lot when he said it. Didn't really understand it. But then along came revival at Pleasant Grove. I sat back there in that pew. Again, same spot I got saved at. And they opened the doors of the church. Place was full. And as we sat there and we all stood up, I knew without a shadow of a doubt, nobody had to tell me, that the Lord wanted me to go forth and join that church. I didn't. I sat there, and I can tell you, I sat over there, and I gripped the back of the pew with my hands so much so that I was shaking. I was probably shaking the pew in front of me. But I was shaking, trying to fight the Spirit of God. And I did. And I went that night and never joined the church. Well, I asked the Lord to give me until next Sunday, and he did, thankfully. Came forth to join the church, and boy, was it a blessing. And I was nervous. I got up, and they asked me my testimony. And you know what? It is nerve-wracking getting up and telling people, but we need to remember, too, that after you get saved, you're going to have to tell somebody.
Right.
You got to have to tell somebody. You think about what can happen. And I'm not one. I don't like always feeling like it's a threat. I don't like threatening people. Or trying to scare them into something. I'm not about that. I think it needs to be led by the Lord.
Man.
But you think about your family. If you were to pass away and they never knew that you had been saved, it'd be a heartbreaking thing. I had an uncle that passed away a couple years ago now. We had moved to Florida and he passed away about 2 months after we moved. Never knew where he stood with the Lord. It's hard. So if you've been saved today and you haven't told anybody, you need to tell somebody. Let somebody know. Because you're withholding some praises to the Lord that you don't need to be withholding. But he says, to get back to the reading, John says in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. You know, when Jesus came unto John there, I believe that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all present. You have the Son walking toward him. You have the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Bible tells us that the Spirit descended on him as a dove. How much of a blessing you think that was to John? To see Christ walking toward him, the Messiah that had been preached all throughout the Old Testament. Maybe you're one of those people that you look back at the Old Testament and you say, well, it never says Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what, he was all in the Old Testament.
Man.
All in it. It was all pointing unto Christ's coming. There's a reason why that all of those rituals had to be done the exact way God wanted them to be, because they were pointing to a Messiah that would eventually come. And they believed on the one to come, to where today we believe on that he did come. And he did die. And you say, well, how can you be factual about that? What's your proof? My proof is right here. Because when I called out unto the Lord that Sunday morning at Pleasant Grove, whenever I called out to him in the midst of my sin and that conviction on my heart and soul, he answered. He answered. That's my proof this morning, that I cried unto God and God answered. Yeah, he didn't answer with an audible voice. You know, Brother Tom down at Cedars says when he got saved that it kind of felt like a lightning bolt, and then he felt peace. So, you know, our testimonies, like I said earlier, are a little different. But what's the same? The peace. So as we continue on, we're going to move over in just a few moments. But if you've been saved this morning, you are called to be set apart. The Lord has told us in the scriptures that his people are to be a peculiar people. What does peculiar mean? It means different. It means a different people. We are called to be different from the world. So when you come forth with the Lord's leadership unto baptism to join the church, you are being set apart. Now, I want you to think about this. Again, I wanted to talking about after salvation. It doesn't all end at the point you get saved. Your life just begins.
Man.
You say, well, brother, I was living for however many years before that. I lived 16 years before the Lord saved my soul. My life didn't begin until the Lord saved me. At that point, you all may think it's kind of weird. I don't. I walked. As we left the church, I walked down, went out the front, the back two doors, front two doors technically. As I opened those doors, that morning I looked out on the grass and the sky, and I could just see a difference. I could truly see the beauty. It was like how we were talking in Sunday school about being blind, not being able to see something. The Lord truly opened my eyes. It's like he took that veil that was there away. And I could see the grass was so much greener. The sky was so much more blue. It was beautiful. I'm thankful at the point of salvation, the Lord truly opens our eyes. You may not have that physical thing, and that's fine. But spiritually, he opened your eyes. Just as many times in the scriptures, he would come unto those people that were blind, and he cured that blindness. Folks, I still believe to this day he was helping those people, but that was another analogy. Christ preached in parables. He used examples. What is a parable? To me, I explain it like an analogy. He used things that the people would know, that they could understand, to explain the scriptures. And I'm thankful today that the Lord allows us to do the same thing. Through that Spirit of God, he allows us to use those things that we know, that we are familiar with, to further the cause of God. And we'll touch on that in just a moment. But so after you get saved, come forth, you need to be willing to be used by the Father. Be that clay that the Bible tells us about, that he can mold you. And you're not going to be the same as Brother Chase. You're not going to be the same as Brother Micah. And you should not strive to be anybody else but who the Lord is leading you to be. There is a reason why we are different individuals. There's a reason why the Lord has called so many men to preach the gospel. Why is that? Well, it's because we all see things, and things mean different portions mean more to us than the others. We see that even in the scriptures of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They each recorded different things that Christ did that stuck out to them, that meant more to them. A light bulb came on. There are some, whenever we read those, not every instance recorded in Matthew is recorded in Mark, and vice versa. So they were different individuals that things stuck out to them. They were different people that the Lord had called to spread his word. And it doesn't just apply to preachers this morning. We need to understand, folks, and you need to understand if you've been saved, that your talents that the Lord has given you, he can use for his honor and his glory. And you may disagree with me on some of these things, but I will say it till I'm blue in the face. The Lord can use anything to further his cause. I'll give you an example. You all don't know me very well. I like comic books. I always have. Something I enjoy. Superman. I enjoy that. But, I was in revival a few years ago. And I sat down and started reading an article about the man who originally wrote Superman, who came up with it. There's a man that came to him, and he said, "Where did you get your inspiration for Superman? Where did you get that?" And he said, "Well, you want me to be honest with you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's Jesus." And he started to explain to him where he wrote and how that it coincided with those things, how he tried to point to the scriptures. The man that he was talking to would never pick up the Bible and read it. He would never have time for the things of God, but he would sit and he would read Superman. But after the man told him, the author told him, "Well, this is why I did it. This is what I'm pointing to." Light bulb kicked in. He said, "Well, you know, that kind of makes sense." And after that, man took more of an interest in God, took more of an interest in the gospel. Because he was able to have it explained to him in a way that he could understand it. You know, a lot of these things, folks, we allow our traditions and the ways that we've always thought to overcome the Spirit of God. And yes, there are good traditions. There are bad traditions. But we need to understand that the Spirit comes first.
Right.
In all manner. So I want you to I thought about this the other day. We spend a lot of time telling people, especially our kids. Me and my wife, we have two daughters. They're not with us this morning. They're with their grandparents. But, you know, we spend a lot of time telling them, "Hey, don't do that. That's bad. Don't do that." And, you know, if we're not careful, we will spend more time telling them not to do something instead of instructing them what the right thing to do is. And I think as the Lord's church, sometimes we do the same. As God's people, we do that. We spend so much time telling people what's wrong, we don't tell them what's right. What can you do? We don't spend enough time motivating people. After they get saved by the grace of God and they come forth to join this body, we should be motivating them to follow the Spirit of God. We should motivate them to learn what is in the Scriptures, to get closer unto the Lord, to allow him to mold them and teach them the ways of God. But sometimes we spend too much time saying, "Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that." But we don't spend enough in good instruction. And yes, it is good. We have to tell people what is right and wrong. Bible says, "Spare the rod, spoil the child." That not only goes with our children, but I believe that works for God's people as well. Church discipline is a necessity.
Amen.
It is needed.
Amen.
But so is motivating God's people to follow him and follow the Spirit. So I want you to understand, and this goes for young and old alike today, Pray and ask the Lord what you can do to further His cause. What can you do? What talents that you have can further the gospel? Because everybody in this room, you have a job. And we've heard it preached on over and over again. We all have jobs. And I think that's going to be preached on until the Lord comes back. Because as Brother Chris, who's helped with the mission down there at Florida, his first sermon when the Lord called him to preach was, "We don't have time. We're running out of time." And that's exactly. We may have 100 years till the Lord comes back. We may have 3 hours till the Lord comes back. But within that time span, there is a job for you. And there is something that you can do. And only you can seek the Lord out to find what your job is. But every person in this church house this morning is very important to the furtherance of the gospel. And you know, preaching to lost people, people getting saved, that is so important. The most important, that people will find God. That they'll know Him in the free pardon of sin with peace with Him. But just as important as after they get saved is the instruction of and teaching of the gospel unto them. We pray for the lost people every day. But how many times have we prayed for those that have been saved and have wandered off back into the world? They are just as important this morning that they will be back here and where the Lord would have them to be to help in the fight. They are just as important this morning to be prayed for. We need every single person in the fight that we have because as we can see, the world is tough. It breaks my heart. Those that are close to us and those that aren't close to us, when you hear of somebody that has been saved, they've come forth, they've joined the church, and they started out real strong, but things got tough, and they wandered back out. It makes me wonder. One, you do wonder, did they really get saved? That's between them and the Lord. Also makes you wonder, did we do enough to help them and point them in the right direction? You know, we wonder why some of our churches don't have as many people. Why numbers at a lot of places are low. And too many times we blame it on the world. We blame it on Satan. But folks, some of the blame lies upon God's people. Amen. Just like in the Old Testament, Israel continued to falter. They did things that they were specifically told not to do. And it was their fault. And there was consequence to their actions. Mm-hmm. And I believe we see consequences to our actions today. When we aren't about the Father's business. When we don't follow the Spirit. And people quit seeing a difference between God's people and another person. You've been saved. Again, you've been called and set apart from this world. Give you a picture. If you're looking, we were talking about the clay, the pottery. If we had a shelf, you all know the shelves in your kitchen. If we had a shelf on this wall, and we had all these dishes up here, but there was one out of those 100 that had one gold ring around it. When you looked at that, you'd be able to see which one was different, right? You'd be able to tell, well, all these, the rest of them are just white. That one's a little different. But as they all continue to get dirty and dusty, if that one with the gold ring gets dust just as the others, when so much dust is put upon that bowl, the gold ring is hidden. It looks just like the rest. And you sit there and you look and you say, well, I knew it used to be here, but it looks like all the others. So which one is it? We're falling into that. As individuals and, you know, a church that is following the Lord, when it's following the Lord, most of the time when there is a revival truly happening there, that means each individual member is following the Lord. But when a church falls, and you know, it's not in the Lord's will. I don't believe that it's in the Lord's will for a church to close its doors. I don't. But we see it happen. We see people give up. We see places start to go away from the truth. They say, well, all these places have so many people. How do we get that? Well, I'll tell you, we're not supposed to seek what they're seeking. I would much rather be in a place with two or three people in the Lord than a room, a building that's so-called called a church with 300, 400 people in it that none of them know about the Lord.
Amen.
Rather have the Spirit of God there.
Amen.
Tell you what I'd rather have is be in that true group of 300, 400 church and the Spirit of God show up. And people understand the difference. Because
yeah.
That when that Spirit comes in, just as when we were lost, He makes it known. And those that are lost, you feel it, but it's not the same way I feel it. You understand that there's something different about you. Something you're missing. Now, again, to finish up here, we'll be done. When we talk about those gifts and those talents, you know, Paul talks about that to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians. He speaks a lot of time, or he talks a lot about speaking with tongues to those people. But today, as we look at all of the gifts and the talents that the Lord gives us, what is the most important thing? It's the way that it's delivered. What's the most important thing when we preach the gospel? Well, it's following the Spirit. And if we're following the Spirit, the gospel can be delivered in the love that the Lord shows the people. And it may be hard, just as with our earthly parents, that whenever you were forced, and those parents here know, I almost cry whenever I have to spank my kids. It hurts me. Because Clark, our oldest, at this point, if I even raise my voice to her, she'll start kind of tearing up. She's just like me as a kid. You don't have to spank them. Because my mom and dad didn't have to do that with me. They would just raise their voice and my feelings would be hurt and I'd start crying. Clark's like that. But it hurts me to get on to her. But at the same time, I know that it's needed. Because she needs to know what is right and wrong. And the Lord's the same thing with us. I don't think He enjoys getting on to us. I think it hurts Him to have to do so. I don't think He enjoyed those judgments coming upon Israel, all those times that they failed Him, that they continually turned to idol gods. But He knew it had to be done. They had to learn. I'm thankful now that He has done it, that He has continued to show me what is right and wrong. If I do something wrong, the Lord shows it to me. He tells me that it's wrong. But we need to understand today that whenever we do anything, just as Paul says, charity is the most important thing. Just as the Lord gets onto us in love, and He's there for us in love, gives us instruction in love, it's the same with us today. Let us do everything through the love of God. And it's not as the world says. You know, a lot of people fail. They hate to believe that God is a righteous God, that He will bring judgment. But He will. He will do it. That is a side of God. But when He does it, at the same time, He's still a loving God. Because He's doing it for a reason. So let us remember, when we go out and we do try to do things and try to follow the Spirit, we do need to be mindful with how we're presenting the gospel.
Amen.
Let it not be led of us. Let it not be presented by us, but through and by the Spirit of God. If you've been saved and you haven't told it, please do so. If the Lord's leading you to join this church or a church anywhere else that He is leading you to go, you need to do that. You need to be used by the Lord. The Lord is not chains unto us. When he saves you, he breaks those chains. Jesus was not teaching a salvation of bondage, one that was keeping us chained down. He was preaching and teaching a salvation of peace and freedom. Freedom of God. Freedom from the world and of sin. And that gospel message is still the same today as it was then. But let us be very prayerful on how we get the gospel out there unto people. How we are doing this. Because it is not of ourselves. Let us do it by the grace of God and the Spirit of God. That is the most important thing, is following the Spirit.